From the studios of NPR West, this is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand.
I'm Alex Chadwick. Today, of course, voters in New Hampshire are making their presidential choices in the first in the nation primary. But to start today's program, we're going to take the magnifying glass off New Hampshire for a moment and turn it to a personal story.
The story of a father whose son died a few years ago in Iraq.
I believe we found out on August 1st. Which is the worst day of my life.
That's Chris Sherman. He's a retired master sergeant and trained soldiers at Fort Bragg in North Carolina. His son, Private First Class Jason Sherman, deployed to Iraq with the 3rd Infantry Division in January of 2005. He died 6 months later. I talked to Chris Sherman about the circumstances surrounding his son's death.
I was coming home from dinner, and a minivan pulled up to the house. And from the minivan came an officer and a chaplain. And I knew right then why they were there. I knew that my son was dead. Eventually that evening, they told me they believed it was from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. At that point, I asked them, how could that be?
The Army was reluctant to tell him. So Chris Sherman spent the better part of 2 years trying to find out how and why his son killed himself in Iraq. Mr. Sherman had to file numerous Freedom of Information Act requests. He appealed to his local member of Congress for help. He told me that every day when the mail came, he wasn't sure what documents he would find and what those documents would say.
They told us there was no suicide note. That they really did not know what happened. Many months later, I received one of my FOIA requests in the mail, and inside the report that I received was Jason's suicide note, in which we were sure did not exist.
I mean, you read it. What did it say?
It broke my heart, because it was obvious that my son was ill, and that he needed help.
Chris Sherman knew that his son was having troubles coping with combat. In March of 2005, while Jason was on leave, he told his father he was scared. Chris Sherman told him that was natural, and before leaving him at the airport for his return to Iraq, he reminded Jason to seek help if he was feeling depressed. A month later, after putting a rifle in his mouth, Jason visited an Army chaplain. A few weeks after that, Jason was evaluated by an Army psychologist.
He told me that the psychologist had given him a standardized test and talked to him for about 10 minutes. And after that evaluation, he sent a note back to the command stating that Jason was capable of feigning his illness in order to manipulate his command. That assessment brought much hardship down on my son. And this is after this unit had seen Jason with the muzzle of his weapon in his mouth and did nothing. This is a unit in which a chaplain writes, he believed my son to be possessed by demons and obsessed with suicide and did nothing. On the day that Jason took his life, he was given an Article 15, which in the military, that is non-judicial punishment. They gave him that for being out of uniform. During those proceedings, his first sergeant told him that if he was faking his illness, that he would go to jail and become someone's butt buddy. And Jason talks to that statement in his suicide note.
What does he say?
Basically, paraphrasing it, he speaks that life is not worth living if all he has to look forward to is being in jail and being someone's butt buddy.
The very day he received this reprimand was the day that he killed himself?
Yes, ma'am. So on the day he killed himself, he was an absolute suicidal time bomb. What did they think was going to happen when they sent this soldier to his room by himself with his weapon?
So what do you want from the military now?
One thing I want from the military is for them to fix this problem. Because the problem of suicide with our soldiers has only gotten worse since 2005. there are things that we can do to help protect our soldiers. If a military psychologist sees one of our soldiers and thinks there is nothing wrong, we should have a system in place in which that soldier can request a second opinion from a nonpartisan civilian provider. Military psychologists work for the employer. Their career is inherent on the decisions they make to ensure that soldiers go back to the front. That is an inherent conflict of interest, and I believe that conflict of interest prevents the provider from being a true advocate for the patient, because I know that the psychologist that saw my son was not an advocate for his safety.
I just wonder if we could close by you just telling me a few things about Jason, what you remember most fondly about him.
When I think about Jason, I think about his smile. He was a beautiful child. And the worst thing about this whole situation is I know in my heart he shouldn't be dead. It is horrible that we lose the soldiers that we have to. It's a tragedy when we lose a soldier that we shouldn't have. And Jason should not be dead.
Chris Sherman talking about his son who committed suicide in Iraq in 2005. 19-year-old Jason Sherman was one of 87 soldiers who committed suicide that year. And since then, the Army suicide rate has increased each year. Joining me now is Colonel Elspeth Ritchie. She's a psychiatrist. She's also the psychiatry consultant to the U.S. Army Surgeon General. Colonel Ritchie, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Now, I realize you don't know the specifics of this soldier's case and you're not authorized to speak about it in particular, but what Chris Sherman is talking about there is his son showing obvious signs of mental distress and yet nothing being done.
First of all, I would like to say how sorry I am for Mr. Sherman. To lose your son or daughter to suicide, I think, is one of the hardest things a parent can face, or a sister or a brother. That's part of the reason I'm a psychiatrist, is that I'm committed to try to prevent suicides as much as we possibly can. So my condolences, Mr. Sherman. Secondly, the question about what is the Army doing about suicide in theater. I spend a lot of my time talking to senior Army leadership who are really concerned and really want to take care of America's sons and daughters. And we're always asking ourselves, how can we do a better job?
In this situation, Chris Sherman says that his son spoke with a psychologist for all of 10 minutes, and he doesn't think his son was given enough time with the psychologists who are there in theater. Is that something that you would be willing to change, that these soldiers who are having troubles would have more time with mental health professionals and perhaps get more than one or two evaluations?
Yes, as you said before, I cannot speak to this case, but what I can say is that we are committed to improving our access to care, quality of care, wherever we find deficits. Every year for the last 5 years, we've sent over a team to theater. It's called the Mental Health Advisory Team, or MHAT. And each one has come back with recommendations about how to better improve quality and access to care and to decrease suicide. And we've acted on those recommendations.
What accounts for the increase in the numbers of suicides for the last 3 years? We don't have the numbers for 2007 yet, but for 2006, there were 99 suicides, up 5% from 2005.
One of the realities is that soldiers in theater do need to carry loaded weapons. It's part of what they do. They're in combat. And unfortunately, access to a loaded weapon is a very high risk factor for completing a suicide. Another factor is the distance away from home, the time away from home, and the effect that has on relationships. Again, we're trying to take that information and to teach soldiers this is what to look for. If your buddy gets a Dear John email, if they get in trouble, then watch out for him or her. don't send them away alone. If you're concerned that they're suicidal, escort them to help. Make sure they stay safe.
What about allowing outside civilian mental health care professionals to oversee these psychiatric evaluations? That's an idea that Jason Sherman's father wants to see. He wants the military to allow soldiers to seek an outside opinion, someone who's not affiliated with the Army and might have some incentive to get this soldier back into active duty.
I'd have to think further and perhaps work with Mr. Sherman and others to understand more what he means about civilian oversight in theater. I will say that we are looking at the issue about how can we bring in civilian psychiatrists and psychologists and social workers over to theater to help us with taking care of our soldiers. And I'll go on my recruiting platform for a moment here. If there's anybody out there that is interested in helping soldiers, please let us know, because we do want to take care of soldiers. Now, we have some realities of the mission right now. Our Army is stretched thin, so anything we can do to support them, we want to.
Colonel Elspeth Ritchie is a psychiatrist and the psychiatry consultant to the Army's Surgeon General. Colonel Ritchie, thank you for being with us on Day to Day.
Thank you. It was an honor, and I really appreciate the chance to talk to you and the listeners.
We asked the United States Army for comment on Jason Sherman's case, and they sent us this written statement.
The loss of any member of the Army family is a tragedy, and suicide prevention is a top priority for the U.S. Army. The 2005 death of Private First Class Jason Sherman was investigated thoroughly by his unit and the U.S. Army Criminal Investigation Command. In fact, the Associated Press story about his 2005 death is based on the Army's comprehensive investigations. We continue to work with and assist his family. We are continuously improving and adapting our training, intervention, and support programs. The Army recognizes the importance of suicide prevention and is taking many steps to decrease those risks that may contribute to suicidal behavior. Our prevention efforts do help soldiers and their families deal with the wartime challenges they face every day. That statement from the U.S. Army on the death of Jason Sherman.
Stay with us on Day to Day from NPR News.